Okay. Are we keeping the schedule regular this week or not? What's the story?
There's college Thursday.
Okay, good. Thursday we'll try to get a. We'll see how much we can. Okay, yeah, so let's try to keep. I want to spend another couple of minutes just on the. To finish up the. A couple of Buchan on the skewers for tomorrow, but we'll do something.
Could you pace up tomorrow?
What's that?
Could you pace up tomorrow?
Yeah, so we'll something pace up related tomorrow, and we'll try to do something maybe Thursday also. We'll see what we can get in. If we can get a little more condition, we'll try that too. Okay, so that will be the pretty much the regular schedule, and I'll try to get to some Marmacomos maybe tomorrow. Also, we'll see how far we go. The other thing is, I think do we make any progress in our event planning?
For the Sierra Conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Okay.
In the works.
So what did we say? We said the week, the second weekend after Pesach?
Yeah, the 20th, 29th. It's Hazir, sort of.
And do we know if the facilities are available?
We're working on it.
We're working on it. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. And if there's some problem, let me know. Okay, so it's in the works. We hope it'll happen. Oh, before I start, a number of people asked me about the Ravid. I kept mentioning the Ravid about the Kaddish B'milva, B'hanosmo, the other Ravid, the Ravid in the Tshuva. So about Agav. So I thought I mentioned where it was, but like two or three people asked me where it was. Did I not mention where it was? I don't know. Anyways, it doesn't matter. So it's here. I have it in there. Okay, so that answers the question.
And then what happened the first time?
Tshuvas Haravid in the Kapach, version of Tshuvas Haravid, it's in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, sorry, and in the Tzmim Deim Simen Samach Gimel, and Sefer Trumos Shar Nun, Hele Gimel Os Vav. I'm just reading it from the Likud Rishonim, which I have here for other reasons. But so it goes to the line that I was referring to. I was just pointing out that the Ravid's language in Mishnah Torah was different. I'm talking about Harbachas Zman. His language in Mishnah Torah was one way, and then the way that it was quoted by the Ramban, by the Rajba, by the Talmidei HaRajba, right? There were all sorts of different nuances. And then I mentioned that the most extreme in the other direction, in other words, that it's not a din, Arya pointed out correctly, the language in Yad Chazaka sounds like it's more of a Hana Halacha, right? But the other extreme, but that you're getting closer to in all these other formulations, is this Ravid in the Tshuva about Agav. So just the official language is as follows. Again, this is Simen Kuf Mem Aleph in the Kapach and Samach Gimel in the Neim. It goes, Vim Tomar, Halba, Hey Chaisa, Nicknase rather, Agav Ara, right? Which is Machlokas Rishonim anyway. But assuming that you can be Kona Alva through Kenyan Agav, like how does that work? So the Ravid says, Ef Shalomar Shehigia Zmana Piron, right? Umzumanim Hayu Hamos. This part is the same Ravid, except that what does it mean? Like, what's the significance of that? Ella shahi misyare mi onas haderach. He's saying, like, that's the case. Like, why are you even bothering? And he's misyare mi onas haderach, so he wants to get it done. V'chein haigavna, v'chi haigavna, vadai kipikodon damu. That's what I mentioned, that he compares it to a pikodon. Lahaknosam agav karka. So both the equation to pikodon and the application to being, subject to kinyan proves that this is not a hana halacha. Right, Shahare Lekadesh says Isha Nami Hare Yatsu Mitoras Milva. Karamina Bikidushin Bei Vavmud Beis Bahanas Milva Mikudashes Mufarshin Da Arvachla Zimna. So he's interpreting whatever he says about Arvach Zimna and the effect in terms of Kiddushin, right, is a basis to say that you can be Makne the Milva Ba'agav, like a Pikado. Okay, so that's in case there was some confusion about that. That's what the Ravid is. Yeah. I'm sorry? So he doesn't mention it there. There are some Rishonim who do suggest Kinyan Suter might also work. Some think that, you know, Agav does. Actually, it is a day of, I believe, not the part I quoted now, but in the Tmim Deim. But I'm not sure if it's the one in Siman Samach Gimel or the one about Harsha. I'm not 100% sure. But
so it's also the Rebbe who said that.
Yeah. But there are Rishonim who say that this would be true for Sudar too. As we mentioned, like when it comes to Dovr Shalom Bali Olam, there's like a debate about Situmta. In all these cases, you would wonder about Sudar, you know. But a lot of the times, the Rishonim say no. Again, the Sudar is explicitly rejected in this respect by the Ritva, where the Ritva says it doesn't matter if it's Mil Bishtar and not Agav doesn't work and Sudar doesn't work. That's, you know, contrasted to those to that group of Rishonim. But definitely Sudar in light is a very reasonable possibility. Anyways. Good. So now let's go back to where we were. So we were discussing about Tana Amanas Lahaksir and the and especially the sugya in Bava Basra, right? So again, what's the point of that? There's the right thing. What's the point of the what's the point of the Sugya Bava Basra? That the Gemara Bava Basra says what? Chaim? What's so significant about the Gemara Bava Basra? Kuf Lamed Zayin. Michael?
Yeah, so even if you hold it, it's Kinyan Peiros, then you can still hold it, it's a Kinyan Gilgal. Even in general, this case would be a Kinyan.
The Gemara originally thought that if you hold Kinyan Peiros, Lavki Kinyan Aguftami, it sounds like that Acharecha should not work for Dalet Minim, correct? And then the Gemara says, what? That's not true? Even if you hold Kinyan Peiros as Lavki Kinyan Aguftami, in this case, clearly the reason that you're being Maknet is an order for the person to be Yotzei, and therefore it works. Okay. So the question is those lines in the Gemara referring to Matana Menas Lahachzir or not? Is Acharecha the same as Matana Menas Lahachzir? And is that Gemara establishing that Matana Menas Lahachzir is the equivalent of Kinyan Peiros? So this is what we were discussing, but we didn't get a chance to go into, you know, some of the problems. I want to pick up with that. So I was suggesting that there are three interpretations in that Gemara, and I want to just zero in on them a little bit more, and then I want to talk about the Ksos and some of the other, the Ritva, and so on. And obviously at stake here, Michael, is a very important issue. Yeah, exactly. Because if we say that Matana Menas Lahachzir is like Kinyan Peiros, that's obviously a qualitative limitation of great significance. Even though, again, there is a debate whether Kinyan Peiros is Kinyan Aguf, Lav Kinyan Aguf, especially if you pass Kinyan Peiros is Lavki Kinyan Aguf Dami. But even if you were to pass that it is Kinyan Aguf Dami, right, the Gemaras in Yavamos and elsewhere established that even according to the Mandamar, Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Aguf, right, there are certain things that you require Kinyan Aguf for. It's also true in the other direction, by the way. Again, this is not our topic now, and we're not even going to get tempted into it. But it is, of course, a really interesting parallel topic, right? And that is that the debate about Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Aguf, or Lav ke Kinyan Aguf, you know, is a struggle for a lot of different halachos, clearly. And the Kula Alma, right, even if you hold Kinyan Peiros ke Kinyan Aguf, there are some limitations. There are things that depend on Kinyan Aguf. And it's also true that even according to the Mandama Kinyan Peiros Lav ke Kinyan Aguf, that Kinyan Peiros helps for a lot of things. Right? It's that huge, you know, ambiguous area in between where there's like a competition, or there can be a competition, you know, between Kinyan Peiros and Kinyan Aguf, and there was a question of the dominant, you know, party when you have two parties, one who has Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan, the other Kinyan Aguf, or if it isn't the competition between the parties, it's the competition in terms of the criterion of a particular halacha, which is somewhere amorphous in between. That's where you have the debate, whether Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan Aguf, or Kinyan Peiros, Kinyan Aguf. But clearly, the idea that Matana Menas Lahachzir would be equated in either direction, but especially if you hold Kinyan Peiros Lav Kinyan Aguf, is something that establishes that Matana Manas L'Hachzir is a limitation, right? A qualitative limitation of the quality of the Hakna of the Matan. So that's why that Gemara is a linchpin in this discussion. If we were to say that, now it's clear that the Gemara starts off with Achrecha L'Ploni, and it's clear that the Gemara in the continuation on Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis speaks about Matana Amanas L'Hachzir. The question is it all very seamless and it's all the same? Or are these two different institutions? Did the Gemara ever have the Hava Mina that Kinyan, that Matana Manas L'Hachzir is a Kinyan Peiros? At all? Did the Gemara have that Hava Mina? One way to read the Gemara, and this is pretty much the way the Rush reads it, is that once the Gemara establishes that for sure, you know, Lachem is satisfied in this Acharecha case, so then the Gemara right equates it with Matana Amanas L'Hachzir. When it was originally seeing it as being limited by Kinyan Peiros itself, and especially Kinyan Peiros L'Hachzir Kinyan Aguf, that's when the Gemara thought that it wasn't Matana Amanas L'Hachzir. Right? So there is no Havamina even to equate Kinyan Peiros and Matana Manas L'Hachzir according to that reading of the Gemara. Rashbam does not seem to read it that way. Right? The Rashbam seems to suggest that Matana Manas L'Hachzir might be Kinyan Peiros, but that Kinyan Peiros in this particular case, that's what that line in the Gemara means, that Kinyan Peiros in this particular case works. And Rabbi Avigdor, yeah.
So would Rabbi be able to just expand on where that comes from in the Rashbam? Because when he's clear that this is working through Peiros, I thought it was that been the stage of Acharecha L'Ploni. But when the Gemara transitions into Matana Manas L'Hachzir, he doesn't make it clear that he's conflating the two.
I thought he doesn't make it clear that he's not, unlike the Rush. But let me look at it for a second. If not, I'll look at it over later. But all I'm saying is that unlike some of the other Rishonim, the Rashbam doesn't go out of his way to disentangle the two. So I thought he just understands that once you say imapik lo nafik, second. I thought he didn't disentangle. Maybe I'll look at it again. Do you think there's indication the other way?
No, I don't. I just don't think that there's any indication. Uh-huh. Just the fact that you wouldn't necessarily identify
the Ploni to begin with. Okay, let me look at it again. For sure, that other Rishonim were even more, I think, more explicit. But let me look at that again. But what I do want to bring in now is the interpretation of Rabbi Avigdor, who clearly holds that there was never a Havamina, that Matana Manas L'Hachzir would be Kinyan Peiros, right? Even if it is part of the original part of the Gemara. So what is the background of Rabbi Avigdor? Anybody see this tshuva or not? I thought we were going to do this today.
Yeah.
No? Yeah.
It's a case where someone hired a tabas.
A tabas shula, which we have to talk more about.
And that he was in Kaddish, an almana in that case.
Yeah, it's like a wealthy almana, right? Yeah. And he's like, okay, yeah. God, kacha yamaisa shalmana achas bas gedole malchuseinu. Like, ooh, what's going on there? Hayadari mababesa melamed tinokos. Right, right? Hishilo, I'm sorry, Minasan Lecha HaTabas. V'amar Achi Hishilo Li. Right, he gave her this taba. They're living in the same house. He's, you know, the Malamed there. And he gives her this tabas to marry her. And they say, ooh, where'd this tabas come from? And he said, oh, I borrowed it from my brother. Achakach bikesh achi ha-mekadesh et salmana. So he goes to his, you know, seemingly sister-in-law, right? And he says, like, I want my ring back. Thank you so much. Right? Shetachsilo ha-tabas, shehishilo. V'nasna tabas li yadi. V'hiresiv la'ed. Is the Rush saying? I showed it to the aide. V'omar, yeah, ani makir tabazu, sheba kidshav ari nimtzas biyadeh sheula, v'ula yesh l'damoso, v'ayt l'aid amar t'nai, v'yur rabosayim yesh l'chufo liten get, ki hi omer shemo eses bo, v'kodim shetinas lo hirotza liyos haguna kol yameha. Wow. You know, she'd rather, you know, lock herself up in a tower somewhere, you know, than be married to him. Right? V'hi bas gedolim, the Almanas Talmud Chacham, Hamelamed Hamakadesh Shayarav, Lefishe Nichai Bechvodo Vein Zekvodo Klal Im Hoisaniseis Lelkach Kosafti Derbausa Kol Advar. This is the Rush writing, so it's a kind of a bit of a, I guess, an emotional kind of a case. So Ella Divrei Harav Ravigdor Kohen. So what's the story, Yeshua? That's a story, correct? The real discussion here is a big discussion in the Rishonim. We don't have a Gemara about this. Can you be Makadesh and Isha the Tabas Shu'ula? So of course you understand that this is, you know, tailor made for our discussion. We're trying to figure out how much bailus do you need, what kind of matana is necessary, you know, where do you draw the line when it comes to the level of ownership that you need and the level of ownership that you have in matana amanas lahachser. Right. So again, this is, of course, this question whether you equate or what the status of Mekadesh B'Tabas She'ula is going to be important for She'ela and how you look at it, important for Kiddushin and what you need, and it's also going to be important in terms of equating it with Matana Menas L'Hachzir. So on the Matana Menas L'Hachzir part of it, right, there are going to be two elements, right? One is, if you assume that the problem of Matana Menas L'Hachzir and Kiddushin is drabanan, because it's chozer, and so on. So is that, in other words, if you interpret the Gemara like the Balitosis and so on, so is that going to apply to she'ula as well or not? Or, in some respects, she'ula maybe being less than matano menas l'hachzir d'oraisa, ironically, is also less of a problem, you know, in terms of the dimyon to chalipin and so on. So that's one part of the issue. That is a pragmatic policy. You know, again, it affects the psak, don't get me wrong, but of course that part doesn't concern us, you know, right now when we're trying to figure out what do you need for Kiddushin, what do you have in She'ela, and what is the, you know, paradigm of Matana Menas L'Hachzir. But the second question, namely the relationship between Matana Menas L'Hachzir and She'ela, you know, is very relevant. So the question is, the more you look at Matana Menas L'Hachzir as a kind of kinyan peiros, or put it this way, that it's, you know, it's the fact that it's a terminal kinyan, it's a kinyan that's chozer, the fact that the object returns to the bailum at some point, obviously makes it something that is domeh, that's domeh l'she'ela. If you think that it's, you know, either a kinyan aguf, Lizman Katsuv, or even more than that, right, a Kinyan Gomor with an extraneous Tnai, let's assume that there are three perspectives for the moment, right? A limited, qualitatively limited Matana, right? A Kinyan Aguf Lizman Katsuv, and a Kinyan Gomor, you know, with a Tnai. So the more you think of it, you know, in terms of being comparable to Shol, the more you're going to say the first, obviously. Some sort of a Kinyan Peiros. Because She'ela, we know, is also complicated, and there's a lot to say about it. Right? But we do know that it's still a Pikado. And we still apply the rule in She'ela, Pikadon Kalechad Isa, Bershusa, Demara, Isa. Right? On the other hand, We do say about She'ela that he's chai ba'onsin, because kol ha'na'a shalo. As we've already discussed, there's a huge machlokas how to understand that, right? Were there two ways to understand it, Moshe? Why kol ha'na'a shalo creates achrayas onsin for a shoel? Did we mention it? Either is a kind of bailim. If that's the reason, then the equation, again, to a more limited, you know, matana and matana menas lahachzir is very, very relevant, right? Meaning, it's like a, you know, it's like, again, it may not be quantitatively the same, but in both cases, there is actual bailus. If we were to take the other view of she'ela, which is, it's a kind of achrayus, like, you know, like people like to give the example, not my original example, but I think a good one, like an insurance company, right? Like, let's say you pay for extra liability, right? The insurance company doesn't own your object, so when it gets destroyed in a fire or an earthquake or lightning strike or whatever the case may be, right? It's not, no one's going to say, oh, the insurance company has to pay because it's insurance company's car or their field. That's not the way we look at it, right? So it's something, kol ha'na'a shalo, in that sense, doesn't mean bailus. What it means is, oh, if you pay enough premium, right? So if, you know, then the level of insurance is going to increase. So what we're saying is, we'll leave out Shomer Chinam because that's a little complicated too for the Rambam. Why is Shomer Chinam complicated for the Rambam, Adam? Well, we mentioned it, we know it, right? Aryeh?
She has an essay for
it? Yeah, because the Rambam has a famous view in Hilchos Schiros, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, that Posheya is Kemazik. So put it this way, if you're talking about the Dalet Shomerim, then we're not, but except for a few, we can't discuss this question without talking about it a little bit. If we're talking about the Dalet Shomrim, so there are, you know, three ways to look at the four Shomrim. One way, you know, is to see them all as, you know, like in one continuum. And then just to say that the level of achrayus is a function of the, or the level of kiyuvim is a function of the level of achrayus, right? So Shomer Chinam doesn't get paid, he's doing you a favor, his liability is very limited, he's worthless to you if he's not chayav for pshia, right? Then what does it mean that he's mekabel achrayus, so that he's a shomer, right? So that's the minimum, not because poshe is kamazik, for that he has achrayus, we're saying. But, you know, he's a Shomer Chinam. The Shomer Sachar, you know, he's being paid to do this. Therefore, you know, we kick up his liability a notch, you know. You know, he's going to cover for Gneva, you know, and for Aveda. And the Socher, you know, it's a question whether he's like a Shomer Chinam, you know, or, because on the one hand, he, you know, is, well, the question is, his schiras kind of neutralizes him. So, right, he's paying, but he's using. So one way to look at that is that it neutralizes him, and he's back to being like a Shomer Chinam. Or, and that's machlokas, is a socher like a Shomer Chinam, or is a socher like a Shomer Sachar, right? Because, you know, he is getting something, right? The opportunity to use the object, know, in lieu of the shmira, therefore that should kick his shmira higher. It's true, he's paying for that, but if the paying doesn't completely neutralize it, al-pidin, then he's more like a shomer sachar. Then you could say, oh, and a shoel, he's like the ultimate, you know, achrayus, because there's no, the others you could at least say, oh, you know what, maybe it isn't achrayus. Maybe it's a lack of shmira, right? So he said he's going to be a shomer, and he was negligent. So that isn't mazik, but it's still, you know, contributory. Could stop pshia, Shomer Sachar can stop, and the Sochar can stop the Gneva, the Aveda, maybe at least through extraordinary methods. Part of the question is, let's say you have a Gneva of Aveda that is a kind of an onus, right? You put it in the safe, you know, it's like burglar proof, and boom, they get it anyway, right? It's one of those master, you know, crimes. So, yeah. So, that's a machlokas rishonim. Is that considered ones, or is that considered still Gneva Vaveda? That matters very much here. So all I'm saying is, when you talk about Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Socher, right, you could talk about all three of them in terms of achrayas, like an insurance company, you know, premium liabilities and so on, kabbalas achrayas. Or you could talk about it in terms of, you know, a compromise in Shmira. If you're not about Shomer Chinam alone, and you hold like the Rambam, and you take it, you know, with a certain amount of concreteness, the poshe is kamazik, he certainly partially means it. I keep saying all the time, because I really, really, really believe it, that it is, the Rambam's a great example of, you know, where context and expectations, you know, changes, you know, the legal reality. So it's a mazik in Hilchos Schiras, which solves, I think, the Rambam's problem. But either way, Alpidin, given the context of Hilchos Schiras and the anticipation and the expectation and so on, so he's a mazik. You're not going to say that, you know, about, even if it's, you know, less than sterling shmira, you're not going to say that it's mazik in Gneva Vaveda, right? So all I'm saying is, if you isolated Shomer Chinam, one perspective is Shomer Chinam is unique. That's mazik. And the other Shomer are not like Shomer Chinam, and there are huge qualitative differences, which is part what the Rambam is saying, although part of the difficulty in the Rambam is that there aren't enough differences, and that's what I'm trying to explain with my suggestion. In the exact opposite direction, you have Shoel, who's chayav for earthquakes and everything else. So if you wanted to say that Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar and Socher, or at least Shomer Sachar and Socher, were about Kabbalas Shmira and letting him down as a Shomer, which you could say about any of those three, it's almost impossible, or impossible, let's say, to say that about a Shoel, because it's not his fault, you know, that there's, or that there's an earthquake, or that there's lightning strike, or that, you know, armed robbers, you know, took out every single, you know, reasonable, you know, precaution, you know, or a reasonable, you know, safety system. So what you want to say about Shomer, about Shoel, is kol hanoa shalom. His achrayus is a function of his bias. That's the other extreme. But so you can't say everybody's about Shmira, you have to exclude Shoel. You can't say that you can say that everybody's about achrayus. It's just a question of gradations. And that kol hanoa shalom is, you know, a quid, you know, which, you know, deserves a pro quo. So he has, you know, huge benefits, and therefore he incurs huge liabilities, but not as a bailim, but as an achrayi. If you say it like that, then the comparison between Shoel and Matana Manas Lahaks there, frankly, is flawed, you know, in a fundamental way, even if you think of Matana Manas Lahaks here is a limited Matana, and again in Paris, which is why I spent these 7 minutes discussing this, right? What brings Shoel and Matana Manas Lahaks here together, right, is the idea that Shoel may be based on Kinyanim, right? And yet, you know, there's still a mashil, and we still say pikan kolecha disa brishusa demari isa, right? And matana manas lahachsir maybe is a kind of kinyan peiros. Now again, even then, there's still a quantitative difference. No one is necessarily going to say, no one says, to my knowledge, that the, you know, no se matana, like I shouldn't say that, it's even stronger. It's clear from the sugyas and from the discussions that the no se hamatana, right, doesn't have the ability to be matish kefetz, right? During the time when, you know, this called kinan peiros matana menas lahachzir applies, right, the whether or not the mekabel matana has more rights than a shoel is less clear, but what is more clear is that the nosein hamatana has less rights than the mashil. Okay? So that's an important chila. But certainly if you think that she'ela and kolana shalo is not even kinyanim at all, it's just a separate side, kinyane tashmishim. Nothing more than that. And the chiv onsim isn't a result of the kinyane tashmishim, except as a payoff, then matan masahaksir's relationship to matan masahaksir, I'm sorry, to shoel, is more distant. So there are two things that really distance the relationship. One is a perspective in shoel, the other is a perspective in matan masahaksir. Either way, there are differences in terms of the mashiel and possibly other things as well. Yeah?
Just not interesting, the core is a little counterintuitive with regards to the relation to Shoel.
Say that again?
The core that's a little counterintuitive with regards to the relation to Shoel.
Yeah.
The Sword of the Torah calls, refers to Shoel as Matana al Das Lahachzir and compares it to Matana Manas Lahachzir.
Does he really? I don't remember that.
Yeah, and Rabbi
Ruchon. In Mishpatim?
Huh?
In Mishpatim.
In Mishpatim here. And Rabbi Ruchon Fishal Perla, based on that, says we see the Sword must hold Matana Manas Lahachzir as really just a Matana of Isman Kotzov. And there's also a Tanai. That if you don't fill the Tanai, the Matana is done.
Because I mean, in Sefer Yitzhar Psagigon, under what, under which rubric does he say this?
It's Shishim Chamish Parshios, Parsha Chafkuf. He's talking about Matana Masahatzer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So in that piece, he says, he quotes a Sfarnu,
who
says that She'el is Matana Masahatzer. All das lahachzir.
Unlike matana manas lahachzir, which has a tnai, and if you don't, or if you aren't mekayem the tnai, then the matana is undone. But by she'ela, since there's no tnai, it's shelo completely.
Mishael is even stronger than matana.
Yeah, she'ela is even stronger than matana.
So how come a mashiel can be makdish, and a nosein cannot?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Wow, so that's as far as it says.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's like totally
I have
opposite.
To check my. Okay. So I recently read through the Sfarno Mishpat. I must have missed that. Or maybe I just got it and I just forgot it. But it's pretty unforgettable. Yeah, you have the Sfarno?
Yeah. So it says, talking about.
I know he says something funny about Balavimo.
Yeah, it's in the.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah, it's about Balavimo, okay. But the first interesting Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla doesn't quote the context of Balavimo. Like, he just said Balavimo is different for She'ela. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perla totally leaves it out. He just says, in the context of She'ela.
What does he actually really say? Okay, so that is the one that I'm thinking.
So he's saying, "Balavimo lo yishalim shista mashu b'karosh daskajeh v'notei matana dashi yachzir v'kim shlomim ha'inu chayv l'hachzir ala kishinim tzbein sh'afilu das omer sh'matana sahachzir chayv v'onsin zeh matam sh'tnai sh'al menas mevata l'tam matana em lo yukudim l'tnai alo b'zeh sh'matana adas l'hachzir vilti tnai sh'ivata l'tam matana em lo yukudim l'hachzirna hine kol zman sh'videi makabo hishalo alo kishal l'hachzirna achar kach lo yishchayv v'al kol mashi yiriva afilu b'shiyo. So that's the sort of.
Okay. No, I remember part. I just thought, okay. I thought maybe I was. Yeah. Maybe because of the Balavimo part, I think it may be a little more limiting. But
yeah, I thought that too. But yeah.
Okay. So now we're.
Yeah, he says, "Beir right. Barav, it's really the matan was lahachzir, the matan olam is on nas lahachzir, because it's really ksasir shomim. Alhi matan, alhi matan of the zman, it's night olam nas lahachzir." Based on the fact, just based on this photo.
And which number is that? I'm going to look it up.
That's Kafei in the Shisha Bacham.
In the Parshios.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's totally
let me look it up for tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, now at least I understand why I didn't see the Sfarno that way. But, okay. But no, this is a very good Makar. Excellent. Yeah, so this is the question of how do we look at the Ksos always likes to quote this, I think, a Tshuva of the Ran. Where the Ran says something that, if a Shoel has. Where did it go? If a Shoel also has Pruta like the Rav Yosef, meaning osek mitzvah patur ben mitzvah, and the thing that he's shoaling, that somehow that will he might not be chayav, you know, ba'on sin. I think it says it by, I think the Ran says it by Svarim, that since he has you know some benefit himself from that, that kind of eliminates the kol hana, you know, shalom. So that is a great example of people who think that the achrayus of she'ela has nothing to do with bailus, just a question of playing off, you know, the levels of achrayus. Maybe I'll bring that in tomorrow or Tuesday as well. I'll look also at Simit Chafei and Parsha Chafei and Sefer Mitzvah Psadjuk. Okay. Anyways, this is a very important question. Zelafi Shena Shalo, Zelafi Shena Breshuso, right? So I think I mentioned that the Ksos has several pieces where he talks about the status of Sheva. And the possibility, you know, that you know, she'ela is really eino birshuso of the bailim. Pashtus and Rishonim are all against that. In terms of being makdish, I mean, the Bali Tosas say all over the place that any pikadon kalechid isa birshuso demari isa is considered to be birshuso. So this is the status, this is the question, the status of She'ela. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara in Bava Kamma, what is it, on Daf Yud, I'm not going to bring either of those, on Daf Yud Aleph, both seems to discuss, again, this question, depending on how you understand it in the Rishonim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, of course, the famous Gemara about Baba Machteres, right there, the Gemara quotes the debate between Rav and Rav, whether or not, if a person's Baba Machteres, right, so his life is on the line because he puts himself in a situation where it's permissible to kill him because Abala Hargacha Ashkeim Bahargo. So the point is that we apply the din of Kamalei Bid Rav Aminei. So, as you know, I think we discussed this, that Rav, certainly discussed it last year when we learned Sanhedrin, Rav's of the opinion that if you steal an object, if somebody could get the Gemara up for a second, if you steal an object, oh, you got it there, excellent. If you steal an object, says Rav, even, and you carry it out of the Machteres, so there's no longer any danger, you still don't have to return the object. That's Rav's view. Right? And then the Gemara says that Rava says, that can't be. You know, it's one thing if it got destroyed. If it didn't get destroyed, of course you have to return it. So the Gemara's Shaklavataria is, when the Gemara discusses Rav on Rav, the Gemara says, maybe we should compare it to Shoel. You have the line there?
Yeah.
He says, there's a chiyuv on sim. A gazlan or ganav has a chiyuv on sim. What does that prove? That it's birshuso, right? It should be birshuso. That's who said that?
Rab.
That's his way of saying that our kinyane gazela are complete. Vaharaya, he's the bailim. Vaharaya, he has to pay if there's an earthquake or a lightning strike, etc. And therefore, since it was Kamalei Bidraba Minei at the time of the Heshev Eslegzeila Asher Gazal, so he gets to keep the object. He has Kinyane Gzeila Lagam. That's the Gemara's Shaklavatari. So then the Gemara says that Rava answered him. What do you say?
Below,
Rava said, no way. Right, go ahead. Keep going.
Ah,
that's why we're doing this, right? Okay, no, that's okay. So basically, what that's a key line in the Gemara, as is the line, the Shol is Chayiv because Kol Hanah Shalom, right? So that there are two ways to read that. Kol Hanah Shalom means Kinyanim. Kol Hanah Shalom means increased liability, like an insurance company. Similarly, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, there are two ways to read it. One is that the Gemara is saying that Rava is saying to him, "What are you talking about? Chiv onsin doesn't prove bailus, such that you should be able to keep an object just because you acquired it in the machteres, because a shoal is chayiv ba'onsim. He's not a bailim, right? Meaning, chiv achrayas of onsim is a din in chiyuvim. It's an achrayas halacha, not a kinyan halacha." That's one way to read the Gemara. The other way to read the Gemara is, that's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, Inachanami, Rav is saying, listen. No. Where's Eli? Rav is saying, Hezach Tzu, listen?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Rav is saying, Hezach Tzu, listen. You know, it's true that a Gazlan or a Ganav has Kinyanim, right? But his kinyanim don't override the kinyanim of the nigzal, or the nignav, because he has more kinyanim. Right? And chiyuv onsim don't prove he has exclusive kinyanim. Chiyuv onsim only prove that he has miktsas kinyanim. Just like a shoel. No one thinks that the mashil doesn't have kinyanim. Mashal's the main kona, right? The shoal is chayiv ba'onsin. How does the line go again?
Kyu
kimna rachmana l'shusei le'inyan onsim, aval le'inyan mikna. Yeah. So the question is, does that kyu kimna rachmana l'shusei le'inyan onsim means he's chayiv onsin not because of kinyanim but because of achrayas? That was our first pshah. Or it means inachanami kona shalom, he's chayiv because of kinyanim, but not kinyanim that are mutually exclusive to the bialim, just like a shoel, right? Similarly, the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Yud Aleph, what does the Gemara speak about there? Who are the Bava Kamma experts in the shir? Micha?
Sure.
Moshe?
If you borrow something and you break it, do you have to return it?
Yeah, what do we call it? I like that whole hooded look, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. Like Bubba Mokhtaris. Yeah. What do we call it? Ain Shaman, right? Or Shaman, Lagana for Lagazlan or Lashoa. So the Gemara discusses. Exactly, but you're 100% correct. You're excellent. What is it exactly? What happens there?
You borrow an axe or you steal an axe and then you break it.
Something happens to an object that you have to pay for.
You have to return.
And it's destroyed. And the question is whether or not you give back the remnants and you fill in you compensate for what's for the lower value.
Or do you replace it and keep the pieces?
Or do you?
Replace it and keep the pieces.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the year, right? Because we talked about compensation, replacement. Well, we talked about Rashi in Meruba. We talked about the Ravid and Dmeikarka Kakar. Remember? Yeah. Okay. So that's an important sugya, whether shaman or ain shaman. So the Gemara there has the line also. Moshe, you have it? Who has the? Or Adam, go ahead.
Yeah.
This is a whole discussion.
Yeah.
Right. So the question is, again, the Gemara is comparing. This is another Gemara that's comparing She'ela and Kinyane Gazela. Kinyan of a shoal and the kinyan of a gaza. You have it?
It's on the board.
Yeah. Oh. Alex, go.
Amar Shmuel. Yeah. Amar Shmuel. Ain shaman olaganav olagazlan 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 olagazl
ve'abba moda li. Ibarle lachika omer af l'shol shamin ve'abba moda li. Odil mahachika omer ve'ani omer af l'shol ein shamin ve'abba moda li. Tashma de'u gavr de'shol nargo mechavrei tavra osa l'kame de'rab omer le zil shlim le nargo mahalio. Shmamina ein shamin. Adir Rabbi Midah Amri Le Rab Kahana Rab Asi Rab Dina Hafi Veshasik Shmamina Shamin.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, but you get the basic idea. In other words, this is the comparison of She'ela to a Goslin and Kinyoneg Zela, and Chilukim between them is part of the story of how do you assess She'ela, as is the Ksosis that I mentioned, whether you can be mocked, whether the Mashil can be mocked-ish in the case of She'ela. I'll just tell you something else that is also very relevant here, because part of the discussion ends up being also comparing Matana Manas Lahachzir not only to a Shoel but to a Socher, right? So again, the Gemara has a discussion about, you know, whether a Socher has the liability of a Shomer Chinam, as we discussed, right? Or Shomer Sachar. But I think there's a lot of evidence that whatever his level of liability is, right, conceptually, the Sokar may be more like a Shoel. Because if you say that what's unique about Shoel is the Kinyanim, you may say that the Sokar also has Kinyanim. Just it doesn't translate into the Chiyuv Achrayus, you know, because it's not called an Shelo, and therefore the Demi Aschirus kind of mitigates a little bit. So that's a topic in its own right. Does Schirus maybe, you know, have the Kinyanim part without the full, you know, Achrayus part? So part of the discussion of the relationship to Matana Amanas Lahachzir and whether you can be Mekadesh B'Tabas She'ula is also whether or not Schirus is going to work. Right? Something that you rent. In general, there's a whole discussion whether or not Schirus is considered to be Mechira Lizman Katsu, Mechira Liyomei, a language that the Rambam sometimes uses. Right? This is an important question too. So the point is that, just to sum up, the status of Schirus, especially the status of She'ela, is a very controversial one with regard to a whole series of halachos. We're not going to, you know, expand on it so much now. The question of whether it can be mekadesh, you know, with schirus. I don't mean what we were talking about schirus before. The milva part of schirus or dmei schirus. I mean something that is rented or borrowed is both a kiddushin question. Right, again, how much Bailus and the Sina, how much Kabbalah, and certainly also, if we're talking about the paradigm of Matana Manas Lahachzir question. But at minimum, if you take the view that Matana Manas Lahachzir is a complete Kinyan, you know, with a Tanai, or even a, you know, complete Kinyan Aguf, you know, Lizman Katsuv, it certainly is superior to the most advanced view of She'ela. Sfarno, Rabbi Rucham Frischel Perlo, for the moment aside, that's an intriguing one, but I want to look at that again. But thank you for mentioning it. But those aside, even if you take the view that Matana Manas Lahachzir is more on the Kinyan Peros kind of level, bring it much closer to She'ela, if She'ela is also Kinyanim, you know, Lizman Katsuv, I still, as I was saying before, you still have to contend with the question that I mentioned before of the Mashil versus the No Seina Matana. Now, you might answer that by saying that, you know, they're slightly different models. In other words, the Matana Manas Lahachzir is not intended to be like a simultaneous, sharing of the Kinyan, which any kind of mafkid nifgad situation is. And that might have kulas, and that might have chumras. Just like part of the Geneva, Gazela, Geneva relation to She'ela, Skiros equation too, is that in Geneva, you're talking about, you know, the Ganef and the Goslin are competitive, you know, in their expressions of ownership. And that's not true in, you know, the Shoal and the Mashil or the Maskir, you know, and the Socher. In the case of Matana Manas Lahaksir, they're not antithetical, right? They're not competing, but they're also not sharing simultaneously, right? It's based on the, you know, Nosen Matana removing himself, which is not the case in Machil. So you really have three paradigms if you want to talk about quasi, even if you assume that all three are quasi Kinyanim, the paradigm of Ganef and Goslin, the paradigm of Shoel and Mashil, and the paradigm of Matana Manas Lahaksir and the Nosein al Manas Lahaksir are slightly different, and that difference may be accountable or responsible for numerous chilukin. Okay. Yeah, good. So what does Rabbi... That took a little longer, but what does Rabbi Avigdor say? Shua?
So he has that formulation about that...
Yeah. So again, he starts off with She'ela, right? He wants to know, we'll talk about that also, about being Mekadesh. What does he think about Mekadesh b'She'ela? We're not going to do this right, the Mekadesh b'She'ela part, we're not going to sum up now, but since it's part of Agav, this topic, it's something that we have to sum up and get to the bottom of, right? Yeah, what does he think? If you're Mekadesh...
With
Anas Shimush, she thinks you can do that. Now again, that isn't, is that so obvious? Right, exactly. So it's another, although here I think it's easier to explain than some of the other cases, but it's again one of those Ikar Tafel kind of interesting situations where there certainly is Hana, and the question is whether that Hana can be, you know, independent of the ineffectiveness, you know, on the Guf. But again, it depends how close the Hana part and the Guf part are, and also why the Guf part doesn't work. Is it because it's in somebody else's hands, or because it's an intrinsically non, you know, kinyanable thing, like Milva? Right. Anyways, so what Rav Avigdor says is that Tashol Paru Mechaber Rishol Shemel V'Nosel No Amashol Rishus LaHashila V'Holach V'Kidesh Mekudeshes. But Bamedvar Mamurim Shamar Eskadshali Banos Shimusha. So he needs Rishus, and he needs that you should be Mekadesh, right? Bahana. Not all Rishonim agree, right? On either side of it. And then he says, V'dami l'mekadesh banos milva, t'mar v'yach zimim mekudeshes, afa gav d'muvah gulav l'mekanila, kidushin, b'kol anos shamar puta talya milsa. Right? The Zimnin even Adam Chashur. Hilka Chachefet Shanosin B'Shas Kiddush Nafila Eino Kibok Kinyan Aguf Ela Kinyan Peros. Here's where it gets into that Gemara, right? Shua? The Kaimelan Kinyan Perislav Kinyan Aguf Dami, and therefore it's not going to work. The Huadin Kitcha B'Tabas She'ula Lo Le'amid Yom V'Ram L'Iskachli B'Hanas Shimushi. Right? Em Yesh B'Hanas, you know, kishutim, I give you like a bauble, but you know, you have to give it back after 30 days, like, you know, at midnight, like it turns into a pumpkin or something like that. So miyesh banos kishutim shavapruta mekudeshes. Afagav da sikna de kidushin al manas lahachsir. Here's where it gets exciting. Einan kidushin. Yeah, go ahead. So in a way, the kula, the fact that it's less, is better, right?
Right.
Because it's ironic a little bit, right?
Especially because that, in this case, he's only using the hanah, right? Whereas in the case of matan asaser, he's trying to be mekadesh
and go from matan. And that's what's chozer.
Right. The hanah is not chozer.
So that's an interesting irony, right? It's weaker, but that saves it, right? Okay, aval the mamal iskachli begufa shel para, that's not going to work. Hinemukudeshes, then yochal ikadish bedover sheinu shelo. So he's taking the view that she'ela is eno shelo legabe kiddushin per se, but that the hana works as hana. Okay, the garmi kiddushin amanas lahakser. Go ahead.
The garmi kiddushin amanas lahakser. The hacha in para kinuyelo apinu b'sha. So that's the first place where he already implies that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the first whiff you get of it. That it's this middle sheet, huh? V'hu adin.
V'hu adin b'tabah shavua. Im amar la eskach li gegufa shal tabah shavua ina mekudashas. Now kaim lan shavua ina mekudashas lo kanya. Perush.
Okay, she'ela for the shoel is not a kinyan aguf for kiddush, enough for kiddushin. Comparing she'ela to kinyan peros. Go ahead. Oh, that's interesting, right? Because they really the question here is a shas question. What's the status of kinyan she'ela, both for the shoel and the mashiel, right? In Kol Torah Kula. So he's saying, I think it's like Kenyan Peros, right? Some people think it's less than Kenyan Peros, some people think it's way more than Kenyan Peros. But it works, Le'inyan Chatzer, for Get and Metzia, yeah, and Hefker. Yeah. So it's not just Metzia and Get. Also for Kinyan Hefker, but as Chatzer, Bosa Shoshaninu. Yeah, but Lulav is not, it doesn't depend on Chatzer. Right, something can be your Chatzer with a Kinyan Peros, but Lulav is saying Kinyan Peros doesn't work. And there, and Hana is not going to work because Hana is totally irrelevant. It's a bailus of the Chefza, right? Go ahead.
So Hasam Hanis Hanan Sir Bachem Mishalachem, the Kinan Agufash, Kulosagi Bahanashim Shbakuk.
Yeah.
So Vim Tomar Bahloma Panamanas Bahakzir Kinan Piros Bahama Karibai, the Parakashnal Kink and Afikai.
Yeah, so now is he clear, this is what we were talking about. This is his read of the Gemara in Baba Basra, that the Gemara always thought we were talking about, right? Matana Amanas Lahaksir, even earlier, right? And the Gemara seems to compare it to Kinyan Peros. Go ahead. Wow. So again, here's a clearer. I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Valkisagi. We only care about Shas Lakicha. So here again is a stronger formulation of Kinyan Aguf L'Sha. But it's also a remarkable reading of the Gemara in Bava Basra, Shalom Kiputo, correct? Meaning, number one, he's assuming that the Gemara's Matana Menas Lahakzir is retrojected earlier, correct? Then he has the problem, Lishitaso. Again, anybody who's going to read the Gemara that way is going to think that Matana Menas Lahakzir is being defined as Kinyan Peros. I was saying that for the Rajbah. Maybe you're right. I have to look, yeah, but clearly this is the way, if you read the Gemara this way, the Rebbe Avigdor is reading it, this is the way you read it. So, having read it this way, he then completely contorts to neutralize it. I'm saying it, again, not critically, but just to understand fully how much he believes in it. Right? So how is he contorting it? Or
he takes Kinyan Peros and he says it really only means that, you know, Yachalach.
Yeah, the Kinyan Peros here, with respect to Matana Menas Lahakzir, even though it does say it in the Gemara, is Lav Dafka. It only means Legabe. Legabe what?
Achila.
Achila. So does that work in the Gemara? This is an interesting question. Or there's something to ask here and to say. Anybody? Gershon David.
I'm not sure.
This is your kind of a question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The Gemara Bava Basra said Machar Ba'achal and Rashbam Lav Dafka.
Why? Because of the Achal, you mean? What do you mean? Why Lav? I thought it was he Lav Dafka something else. Doesn't the Gemara there imply very strongly or say explicitly that it depends on kinyan peres, kinyan agov? I mean, the original part of the Gemara is, talks about whether, about Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gavliel, no?
Yeah, in the case of Acharecha Laponi, it says, right, that, it says, Darash Akhmer, because the Esrik Zemas and Mechala Batan of Acharecha Laponi, the Kala Rishon Diyatza, Baruch and Lachal Kassar, Rebbe Rashba.
Yeah.
And then Masim Dar Kappan Bar Yitzvah, that kind of Pidi Rebbe Rashba, Pasam, in the earlier Mechal Kass. El Maya Savarkin appears to be Nagop, Dami Maya Savarkin appears not to be Nagop. El Ahacha, meaning the piece of Esrik, so he says, Kulei Amal Pidi, because you're clearly giving it
right. So the way the Rashbam is, the way Rabbi Avigdor is reading the Gemara, even the original line of the Gemara was also was viewing this as Matan Menas Latzer, right? Before the Gemara gave the answer.
It's a case of Acharecha Laponi.
But there he's equating Acharecha Laponi to Matan Menas Latzer. Now he's asking the question.
Oh, meaning with the Rabbi Avigdor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying like this. Let's just look how Rabbi Avigdor read the Gemara. Right? So he read the Gemara that even initially the Gemara is speaking about Matana Menas L'Hachzir. He's troubled because he holds that Matana Menas L'Hachzir is a Kinyan Aguf L'Davar Katsu. So then he's saying, so how could the Gemara call it a Kinyan Peros? Right? So number one, we're saying, well, anybody who reads the Gemara like Rabbi Avigdor, which isn't such a bad reading of the original Gemara, Acharecha Laponi is already Matana Menas L'Hachzir, right? Is going to say, he's going to be left with the view, that's what he's worried about. He's going to be left with the view, Bepashtus, Matana Menas L'Hachzir, even though it works in this case, is still Betoris Kinyan Peros. Correct? But Rabbi Avigdor himself, he can't abide that, because he thinks all the evidence proves that Matana Menas L'Hachzir is a Kinyan Aguf L'Davar Katsu. We'll call it the global evidence. So how are you going to read this Gemara? So he's saying, the Gemara means legabe, what? Sheinu yachal achla, ulamachro, let's say. Okay, so number one, but doesn't the Gemara say that it that this whole discussion is if you hold kinyan peros is lavka kinyan aguf? If it's not real kinyan peros, why do we care whether it's kinyan peros, kinyan aguf or not? Ah. That's a question. Okay? Am I making up this question? Is it a legitimate question? I think it's a legitimate question. Right? Am I missing something?
Okay, can't that just be what exactly the Gemara's response is? Meaning, when the Gemara responds to the Lambda Amar, King of Peres, Lapkin, and Lukdami, in this case of Esrog, what it's trying to say is that, you know, if it were just King of Peres, Stam, it wouldn't have worked. But in this case, right, he's giving the Esrog only to be Yotzei, we're going to interpret.
Yeah, but I'm saying the way Rav Avigdor is reading the Gemara is the Gemara always knew that the Gemara is talking about Matana Menas L'Hachzir, and we always know that it isn't really Kinyan Peros.
Well, that
it's just Kinyan Peros legabe that what it shares with Kinyan Peros, which is the inability to do Achila.
That could be only when Astana that we see Yimei Hakol Nafik
there. I'm just saying, I think that's what he...
Even Rav Avigdor himself in the Tshuva, when he first uses the term Kinyan Peros, he means it fully, and then he retracts.
So I don't think that the Shlomo Lahachik Karilei Kinyan Peros. He's asking from the beginning. Kinyan Peros Biyamas Karilei. When on Kuf Lamed Zayin Omid Aleph, right? The Nafik Bay. The Shlomar. So I thought that means he's totally reading, right? In that already we know this that it's Matan Menas L'Hachzir and that it's the Shlomo Lahachik Karilei Kinyan Peros Sheni Yachal Achlo. Avamiyo Kinyan Aguf L'Sham Mikra. Even then. So I'll tell you my idea, and then you. One second. Mishasul kicho kapid shei mishala avai ika b'hachi masikasa behedja dafila man depalig b'mechira v'achila the mefik kolam lo plig dinafik. That's what you're referring to, right? Uminei alfin and lekomili. So this is what I think it means. What I think he means is as follows, because like if it's not really kin and peros, so what do we care? That you can't be mocher or ochel, especially ochel. So. That's her technicality, right? So I think what we're saying, what he's saying is, If you held that kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf, right? In general, then the fact that lemaisa, you can't be mocher ochel in certain situations, is going to be perceived differently than if you hold kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf. In one case, I might, because in general, in the, this is a very critical idea, irrespective of whether this is the right shot for Rav Avigdor, although I think it is, meaning, what is the impact, because Rav Avigdor is basically saying that befoal, you can't do achila. So the Gemara thought, befoal, you can't do achila, therefore you can't be yotze with lachem. And then the Gemara is saying, no, not true, you can't do it befoal, but it doesn't interfere with lachem. Right, so I don't think that the transition is when the Gemara says that line, because he's retrojecting this ha'ara already to the earlier part of the Gemara, right? So I think what he's saying is, gufa this question, whether or not the befoal inability to be mocher or ochel reflects or causes a limit in the bailos, right? That question gufa may depend broadly on whether kinyan peiros is kinyan aguf, even if we're dealing with a situation which is more than kinyan peiros. So what the Gemara is saying is, if you held kinyan peiros kinyan aguf, right, then the inability to be mocher or ochel is always viewed as kind of a pragmatic, extraneous, irrelevant fact, and therefore there's not nothing to talk about, especially in matana manas lahachzir. But even though matana manas lahachzir is right, a kinyan aguf lizman katsuv, if you hold kinyan peiros lav kinyan aguf dami, we still might think that lemaisa, the inability to be ochel mocher, right, isn't just extraneous. It causes a limit in the bailos. That's how I think you have to read the Gemara according to Rav Avigdor. Yeah.
And then the answer of.
Then the Gemara says no. That's always wrong, right? Or that, or in this particular case, it's wrong because of the nature of a meaningful kinyan in the context of Esra. I don't have so much trouble understanding the answer as I do. I have more difficulty understanding how you can have your cake and eat it too, say that somehow it's related to kinyan peiros ki kinyan aguf, when it isn't a real kinyan peiros, it's only the befall inability to do the bechira. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right, the answer, I think, you're right. You have to explain it, but I think that's the explanation. Okay, so that's how Rav Avigdor, I think, reads it. Go ahead. And lachem bishalachem is fine. V'hochi ma'asa kosa behedja. Tafidu ma'an depalik b'mechira v'yachila. L'mei b'kulam lo pligid enough. I think that's what he's, now he's addressing your point. Right? Lo pollig the nafik. V'minei yafinam l'kol mili. V'afidu l'kidushin daraisa d'matana manas l'haksa shema matana. The adif mishol dim nenas. This is also important. Im nenas kodem chazara patur. Meaning, what does that prove? Alma matanehi. If he really was only kinyan peiros, then he should be chayav for onsen. That's his view. I don't think you have to say that, but that's what he's saying. So it's a kinyan aguf l'zman katsuv. Afapi she'omed. L'chazara, that's a good line too. Omid l'chazara is his in-between shita that it's l'zman katsuv, but that is a limit. And therefore you might think that it imposes even further bailos limits. But it doesn't, even though the kokama de lo hadre choshuv mamone gambaze yafakocho de shol ena rashay l'hashol broshus bailim. Now he's a raya. Right, a shoel, you know, so again, if he has unlimited kinyanim, if it was only a kinyan lizman katsuv, why does he need to ask the mashil whether he can be mashil acherim? So that shows that the mashil is still in the picture, A, and B, unless it's the same thing, that the shoel is more limited. Again, people who are going to say, you know, more might just say, well, as long as it's a mashil, you know, he's the, you know, he's the achrai for being mashil not kerim, but maybe that doesn't imply a limit in the she'ela, but I'm not sure. Maybe that might be already just semantics. But there's an interesting raya, right? The fact that shoel ena rashoel hashoel b'lo rishos, does that mean that matana manas lahachzir, by extension, what's he saying? Could give somebody else a matana manas lahachzir. That's not so obvious. We'll discuss it. Right? Can a makabel matana manas lahachzir give it as a matana manas lahachzir to someone else? The answer is, according to the Rav Avigdor, the answer is yes. It's only show the ena rashoel hashoel b'lo rishos by them, and that's a raya of his having only the equivalent of kinyan per. The zeh yachal lahashil, the litin lachar barushes by lamanas lahaksir. The gam yachal lahaktish. Ah, this isn't so. According to the Medina de Gemara, can you be maktish if you're makabba matana manas lahaksir or not? Not so clear, right? But the Rabbi Avigdor is saying yes. The imishum, the miboyle lekiyume tanai. I mean, that's a practical thing. If you think matana manas lahachzir is kinyan peiros, right, then you might think that it can't be makdish in principle, not just because of the interference of the tanai. If you think that it's a kinyan lizman katsuv, or even a kinyan gamur, right, with a tanai, so then the question is, does it interfere with the tanai? Now, if it does interfere with the tanai, does that mean it interferes with the bailus? It's also a tricky question. Maybe that's the difference between kinyan lizman katsuv and a kinyan, you know, with a tanai. But anyways, his view is imishun debiboy lelekiyume tanai motzi parikle umekayim tanai. Also not so simple, because that's really mechusar ma'isa. Ma'ida parikesh shnochlin shor zeh nosin b'matana menashe takzira mida decha. You were reading, right, Shua?
Yeah.
Sorry. I was like masig gavul. I owe you tovas ana money or something like that. Go ahead. Whoa. That's that Pashas of the Gemara? Definitely not. So Rabbi Avigdor is working with a very strong conviction here, and he's saying some really interesting things. There are interesting things by implication, and there are interesting things beferush. Right? He can give a matana manas lahachzir to someone else. He doesn't reach Rishus. He can be makdish, it's considered a tanai, right? Or it doesn't defy the tanai because he can be podeh. Not so simple. Hashtash shapir, go ahead. This is an interesting issue. That's a rule. So how could that be? If he can't be makdish, it's a shir in the bailus. So the answer you might give is, well, if that's for technical reasons, you know, what the Gemara meant was when you're having a bailus. If the problem is a tanai problem, maybe not. Right? But the Rabbi Avigdor has a better answer, and that is that the whole thing just isn't true and it's not a violation of that rule. Go ahead. The matana. Yep. So is that so obvious? If lachem depends on the zman katsuv, so maybe being makdish also depends on zman katsuv. What do you think about that? So obvious?
It depends what level of bailus you preach.
Yeah, that's number one. Also, what you might say, I mean, and partially this is kind of the reverse or parallel of the Gemara, and that is the whole yesod of bailus and the dalad minim, right, revolves around a particular moment. That's in addition to the level of bailus, right? There's also the question of time. What role does time play in bailus, or unrestricted time play in bailus? So that's an interesting question. You might say, oh, any limitation in your time is... this is what we're saying a second ago in the Havamina, certainly. I was just connecting it to Bikinin Peres Kikinin Aguf, but right, a limitation in time is willy-nilly, right? A limitation in bailus, right? Yes or no, right? That's a little bit, we'll get to in a sec. That's the Ran and the Xos also. Yes or no, or maybe it depends on certain circumstances. Like, what role does time play in the significance of a particular ownership? Right? So the idea that, you know, you're to use the language of the Gemara, the whole reason that you're doing this is not because, you know, you have this fetish about, you know, esrogim or adasim, right? It's l'kayim es mitzvah. Especially if the Gemara thinks, according to the view that the Gemara thinks, really, really, it's kinyan peiros. And kinyan peiros is lav k'kinyan aguf. But since the whole point is that he wants to be maknif for lachem, that expands kinyan peiros in the flexible understanding between. That's one way to read the Gemara. Right. So aren't we then saying that the particular focus of this kinyan and the role of the mitzvah, I guess, is going to define the bailus? So too, what you might say in either direction. Number one, you could say the definition of hekdesh and kedusha is that it's permanent. You could be poda hekdesh, but that is, you know, a change of its status. But per se, hekdesh by its nature is about permanent. In fact, there are Rishonim, you mentioned the Sfarno, right? Before, in a different context. Sfarno always likes to say that Kedusha is connected to permanence. Right? I think it's a very important idea. Anyways, important for issues like Tmura and other things. Right? Intrinsic sanctity, you know, permanent sanctity. On the other hand, the kinyan for dalid minim, lachem, right? That's for the shelf life of the mitzvah. More, even better than that, it might even be, you know, mida'ag be'nafak be, for yontif frishon. I mentioned the other day, there's some debate about, you know, shivat siyamim in the mikdash. So, v'chi hechi d'darshina lachem, Vishas lakicha, meaning kinyan gufal isman katsuv is enough for lachem, right? Vishas matana, I'm sorry, Vishas matana manas lahaksir, vada yachal haktish. It could be mechalek for both reasons. Okay, I understand it. I'm not quibbling with Rabbeinu Avigdor, right? But certainly you could be cholek and say that, you know, either that's the exception or that's the exception. V'chi have darshina lachem. Right, Misha, go ahead. What do you think about that? Also not so obvious, right? He's saying, now he's saying that, what's he saying? The bailus of a yachid when it's matana manas lahachzer. Meaning he's equating one quantitative slash, let's say it this way, one limitation for another limitation. Can you have lachem, right, when you're lacking permanence? Can you have lachem when you're lacking exclusiveness? Right? Exclusive simultaneous ownership and exclusive long-term ownership. Is that a reasonable equation? I mean, it is. Again, you know, it's totally understandable. Meaning, what does bailus mean? Absolute, you know, mutually exclusive, you know, proprietary ownership? Or, you know, it's more nuanced than that. But understanding the equation, you know, doesn't mean that you can't argue with it, right, in either direction. Like, which is more of a breach in the quality? Maybe one's a quantitative thing, one's a qualitative thing. Which, right, you can make the argument either way. So this sort of vigor is chalked through, that's why I wanted you to see it, of like really interesting assumptions. But he's taking stand on important issues that other people are going to argue with or could argue with. Go ahead. And what's the raya? Beis ha-shutfin, metame b'negayim. right? So again, equating, you know, bias menuga and lachem in either direction is also an interesting but questionable. He's equating kiddushin, lachem, bais menuga, and so on. Bahani mili, shutfisha lakul l'shem mitzvah, of course, because he's going to run into other gemaras, right? So bilakicha de mitzvah kasa medaber. Allah koi lachem. Likichasa liskor l'chude, go ahead, sorry. Lo mikri lachem. Yeah.
Right.
Again, that's the befoal part. What does that mean?
So, I mean, there's not going to be any impediment of being the kind of time, because you could always just be maxing it up.
So that is a big, big chiddush. What's that?
He assumes you don't have to be massive to go.
Right. That's, then he discusses the Gemara and Gita 9 Amid Beis, and that's not so simple at all. Because, again, if you hold Kinyan Aguf, you know, as opposed to Kinyan Peros, you can countenance that. But even if you hold Kinyan Aguf, you know, Leolam, with a Tnai, it's not so clear that the Tnai doesn't include the ban. And if you hold the middle Shita, where there's a qualitative, well, I'm sorry, where there's a it's considered Lizman Katsuv, and it isn't just a Tanai in a totally extraneous way, then you certainly might have been able to argue that you insist on the ban. Right? Okay. So that, not obvious at all. Okay. Okay. Then he talks more about Tabas Shi'ula and compares it to Geneva Gazela, and so on. This is important for the Shi'ula part, which I'm going to leave right now. There's nothing more here about the Matan Melas HaHachzer, am I right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. I mean, there was, you know, Dayenu, right? Rabbi Victor really, Baruch Hashem, he acquitted himself well. Okay, we're going to have to stop because it's late, but I just want to point out that, so the Ksos, you know, he's very excited about Rabbi Avigdor. More excited than, you know, than the people in the room who didn't, you know, give Rabbi Avigdor the full attention
that
he deserved.
That always gets people excited.
What's that?
Something about Avigdor that always gets people
excited. Right? I'm like, you know, B'dchilo Rechimo, you know, he might be listening, so.
Oh, yeah.
You never know. I might get like a, you know, a call. You know, I could get it like any second. There's just like, no, but it takes a while. You have to upload it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm safe for the moment. But, yeah, so what's interesting, the Ksos was like very enamored. He said, oh, I found a Rishon. I think it's very beautiful. Just like an inspired Vialas Chaim, right? So he was very, very excited. I don't blame him. The Yalos Libi Shekivanti Ladas Rav Kadmon. Right? Yeah. But what's fascinating about the Ksos, he's also adopting this view. Is it identical in its parameters to Rav Avigdor? That's number one. But number two is he's contrasting it to the opposite. Right? Meaning, Rabbi Avigdor is trying to tell you, don't even think. He's trying to forestall or preclude that Matana Manas L'Hachzir is a Kinyan Peros. He's not even considering that it's a Kinyan Aguf Li'olam with a Tanai. What the Ksos is trying to do is coming from exactly the opposite perspective, because he's responding to the Rush. Right, the way the Rush read the Gemara, the original part of the Gemara never thought it was Kinyan Peros, right? It's only Kinyan Aguf. And then the Rush and Sukkah, so that's what we want to elaborate on next time, and the Ritva here in our Sugya are the ones who say that it isn't even Kinyan haguf lizman katsuv in the sense that it runs out and then it reverts. Right? You really need a kinyan lechazara because it's just a tanai. So with the ksos, who's so excited about finding Rabbi Avigdor, he's excited, but he's fighting the opposite battle. He just wants you to know, by the way, that you know you need you don't need to make a kinyan. Because the kinyan leguf lizman katsuv, it's not a kinyan gamur. Right? What would Rabbi Avigdor really have said about that? Would Rabbi Avigdor really think that you don't need a kinyan? He doesn't say you need a kinyan because it's hard to know. But some of the other things that he says, you know, you wonder. So let's talk about the ksos who is coming from the opposite way, even though he has the same formulation, to see if he is identical, and then to discuss the parameters of all three across a bunch of other issues, as we said. Onsin, shibudin, let's say no time is set. Who dictates the time? The Nosen Matana or the Makabo Matana? And what about some of the issues that Rabbi Avigdor raised? So let's try on Tuesday to get through, you know, some of these other issues and speak a little more about She'ela as well.